Okay, good evening. Thank you all for coming. The topic that I thought that we should focus on tonight is about fasting, or actually more likely eating on Yom Kippur. Fasting on Yom Kippur, we know, is something that we have to do. Eating on Yom Kippur is something that not only do we not have to do, but there's a chiyuv kares if we eat on Yom Kippur. It's a very, very serious aveira. But nonetheless, if a person, of course, is not well, a person is ill, or various degrees of illness, so then we do permit eating on Yom Kippur. And what I hope we'll discuss tonight is a number of the commonly occurring cases. Believe me, these are all shilas that I got this week. And we will, Belinda, discuss these questions and hopefully arrive at some clarity in terms of what should be done. So the first question that comes up is a question about taking medicine on Yom Kippur. Now, Yom Kippur, we have to remember, is like Shabbos. And on Shabbos, there's an iser to take medicine, right? We can't just, if we're not feeling well, we're kind of, you know, you wake up on the wrong side of the bed, you have a bit of a headache, you're not allowed to take medicine on Shabbos. That's the basic halacha. It's a gezeira that maybe I might come to grind, I might come to grind, so therefore Chazal said you're not allowed to take medicine on Shabbos. Yom Kippur should be the same as Shabbos in that respect, which means that on Yom Kippur as well, you are not allowed to take medicine. But, just like on Shabbos, if a person is really ill, a person is a chola she'ein bel sakana, which for our purposes we'll define as someone who would be in bed, someone who's bedridden. You're not really deathly ill, right? Thank God. You are just... You wake up with a serious headache, a migraine, or you have a bad case of sinusitis, a bad cold. Right? These cases, right, if it's a type of cold, you just carry some tissues in your pocket and you go to work, so then you're not allowed to take medicine on Shabbos and on Yom Kippur. But if it's a type of cold that really you would take off from work, but if you have an important project doing work or something like that, so then you would force yourself, but you would prefer to stay home in bed. So in that situation, we paskin on Shabbos, I'm allowed to take medicine. What about Yom Kippur, though? Yom Kippur, there's an added complication, which is that is medicine considered food? Okay, I'm not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. Maybe I should not be allowed to take medicine as well. Now in Shulchan Aruch, we discuss a person who on Yom HaKippurim eats food that is not really to be eaten. For example, food that's not really edible. You take mold, you take bread, and you leave it out for quite some time. It becomes moldy bread, which we also call penicillin, right? So moldy bread is ochel she'einam ru'uyin la'achila, right? It's food that really isn't normally eaten. It's not, the food itself is not fitting to be eaten. Or Shulchan Aruch discusses a case. It's the top source that we have on these sheets. If a person eats until he or she is completely stuffed, which means, let's say, Erev Yom Kippur, at Suda HaMafsekes, you really go at it, and then you're completely stuffed, and right after Shkia, you eat some more. So in that situation, it says in Shulchan Aruch, so you are putter. That means that min haTorah, according to Torah law, biblically, so you're okay. Biblically, you didn't violate Yom Kippur, but rabbinically, you did violate Yom Kippur. The Mishnah Berurah comments, but rabbinically, even if I eat food that is not normally eaten, like moldy bread, so rabbinically speaking, so this should be a problem. So if that's the case, some of the Svarim want to say, well, maybe you're not allowed to take medicine on Yom Kippur, no? Because medicine, in many ways, is just like food that isn't ro'oi to be eaten. Right? Think about it. How do they get medicine? Many of our medicines were food at one point, and they do some things with it. They add chemicals, they grind it, they make the bread moldy, etc. So it could be that it would be forbidden midrabbanan to eat the food. But no, this is not true. Rav Moshe Feinstein paskins, it's in Chelek Orachayim, Volume 3, Simen Sadi Aleph, the next source, v'kosha keni red she'en l'asol likach pillin are pills, right? You can't forbid taking pills without water, because, he says, not only is the food not ro'i la'achila, not only is it not something that's normally eaten, but it's also shelo kederech achila. There's a combination. I'm not eating it in the normal way. The normal way I eat food is I put it in my mouth and I chew it and then I ingest it. The way I take pills, I think most people are like me in this respect, we don't chew on our pills. My kids still have to learn this. But most people, the way you take a pill is that it's not derech achila. So says Rav Moshe Feinstein, if I combine these two things, A, the food itself is not normally eaten, and B, I'm taking it in an atypical sort of way, right? To use Brisker terminology, the cheftza of the food is not normal. And the maisa, the way the person is eating it, is also not normal. It's not normal food, and I'm eating it in an atypical fashion. So then Rav Moshe permits it. Rav Moshe permits it in that case. Now, Rav Moshe, though, only permits taking medicine on Yom Kippur. That means you have a bad headache on Yom Kippur, the type of headache that you have to be in bed for. You're allowed to take pills. Okay, so far so good? I'm allowed to take pills. What about taking pills with water? Now, I have no problem taking pills without water. And I think some people are like me, or many people are like me, but there are certain people for whom you can only take pills with water. My wife is like this. I don't know why exactly, but okay. All right, we don't have to ask questions. And she can only take pills with water. Now, are you allowed to take pills on Yom Kippur with a bit of water? The Gemara tells us in Yuma that Chatzi Shir is Aser Min HaTorah. It's a machlokas with Yochanan and Reish Lakish. But we assume that on Yom Kippur there's a Iser De'oraisa, there's a Torah prohibition to eat or drink even a tiny amount. That's a Torah prohibition. If I eat a full Shir, if I eat, the Shir in Yom Kippur is the size of a fig, Koseves Hagasa, a fat fig. Right, so if I eat, it's not a nice term to call someone also, right? But if I eat the size of a fat fig on Yom Kippur, so then I am going to be chayiv, I'm chayiv kares for that, but I eat a very small amount, it's an issur d'oraisa, but I'm not chayiv kares. That's what we call chatzi shir, is aser min haTorah. There's an issur, a Torah prohibition of eating a tiny amount. So the question is, taking the medicine with a teeny amount of water, is that going to be a chatz yishir that's aser min haTorah? Rav Moshe Feinstein assumes yes. Rav Moshe writes that when you take the water to have the pill go down, that would be an iser de'oraisa of chatz yishir aser min haTorah. Therefore, you have to take the pill without water. In his case, he permits you taking the pill with water because this is a case of a person who was a chola she'ein bo sakana, had a small illness, that might develop into a full-fledged chola she'yesh bo sakana. So that's why he permits you, in this case, to take water. But without that, Rav Moshe Feinstein says, you should not take the pills with water, and this is accepted by almost all the poskim. So what do you do? What do you do? You have to take pills on Yom Kippur. What do you do? It's not so easy. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach recommends in the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa, and this is actually the best source of all the din with eating on Yom Kippur, are found in the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa, chapter 39. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach recommends, when I told this to my mother last year before Yom Kippur, she almost had my head. He said, well, you take the medicine with mouthwash instead of with water. Now, what does mouthwash help? Right now, you got to be careful, right? You got to be careful. If the mouthwash says that if you ingest this, call poison control immediately. So please don't drink that. Right. So Rav Shlomo Zalman basically has this idea that even though chatzi shir is aser min haTorah, that's only chatzi shir of food. If I eat a tiny amount of food, but mouthwash isn't food. Then he goes on to say, well, maybe what I should do is I just make the water very bitter tasting. So that's really what you should do. You should add a little bit of something to the water to make it very bitter and take the medicine with that type of bitter-tasting water. In that situation, the poskim permit it. To just take the medicine with regular water, it seems like the poskim would not permit that because of the prohibition of chatzi shir aser min haTorah. So again, this is very important. You are allowed to take medicine on Yom Kippur, but you really have to try to take it without water. Any questions? Okay. The mouthwash thing is a little bit scary, right? What can I tell you? Yeah. Now, it happens that in many cases, in terms of taking medicine on Yom Kippur, so you have to know the types of medicine that you're taking. Some medicines you can, you have to ask your doctor, obviously. But some medicines you can take a double dose before Yom Kippur and another double dose after Yom Kippur and miss all of Yom Kippur. If you could do that, if it will cause no adverse effects, that's obviously the best thing. If it will cause some adverse effects, so then you take the medicine on Yom Kippur. Now, any medicine that you have to take on a regular basis, in addition to antibiotics, sometimes psychotropic drugs or the like, if you have to take them every day, the assumption is that people are taking these medicines would qualify at least as a chol she'ein bo sakana. The poskim say that a chol she'ein bo sakana is anyone who cannot function normally. If you can't function normally, so you are a chol she'ein bo sakana, and then you are allowed to take medicine on Shabbos, on Yom Tov, on Yom Kippur. But again, on Yom Kippur, you really have to be careful about taking the medicine without water. There are some poskim, the Shagas Aryeh, is machmir, that you cannot even take medicine without water on Yom Kippur. The Shagas Aryeh is actually the basis for the Rabbi Blumenkranz book on Pesach. He has this funny idea that even food that is not normally eaten, right, it's ochel she'en roi l'achila, and you're eating it in an atypical fashion, still there's an issur d'rabbanan. Therefore, you have to find out if medicine is kosher for Pesach. Most poskim, including this Rav Moshe over here, disagree with Rabbi Blumenkranz. And they're assuming that no, that all medicine, that means all pills. Okay, you have to be very careful. Liquid medicines are a different thing. The chewables are also different, like Flintstones vitamins or whatever we used to take as kids and try to convince our parents that we really needed them. So those things are really food, but medicine in the sense of pills, all pills are permitted on Pesach. There is no kashrus issue whatsoever on any pill, based on the same idea, that it's not food that's normally eaten, and I'm eating it in an atypical way. The Shagas Aryeh does forbid it, and the Shagas Aryeh says that you have to take medicine wrapped up in a tissue or something. Some people in Bnei Brak like to do this all the time. They'll take medicine wrapped up in a tissue on Yom HaKippurim. I think this is not the standard practice in our communities. Correct? Okay, good. A person who will not be able to fast on Yom Kippur, but if he or she goes on some intravenous before Yom Kippur would be able to fast. Are you obligated to do that? To go on intravenous before Yom Kippur in order to be able to fast, right? We assume that the isser of eating on Yom Kippur is eating. The isser of drinking is drinking. If it goes in through the veins, it's not eating, it's not drinking, it's... Right, we don't make brachas on stuff that goes in intravenously. It's not eating. Are you obligated to go in intravenous to make sure that you will be able to fast in Yom Kippur? Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and all the poskim discuss this type of question. Rav Moshe assumes, very interestingly, that not only is there no obligation to go in intravenous in order to be able to fast in Yom Kippur, it's forbidden to do so. He says it's usher. Moshe says, you know what? If you won't be able to fast on Yom Kippur under normal circumstances, don't fast. Don't fast. You're going to be sick. You're chol she'yesh bo sakana. Don't fast. You don't have to go out of the way to go on to intravenous. Not only that, it's forbidden. Why? Rav Moshe has a very, very interesting idea. You know, the heter, I have this tshuva printed on the next section. The heter for a doctor to heal a person, the Gemara in Bava Kamma, Daf Pei Hei, learns from a pasuk v'rapo yirape, that a doctor is allowed to heal us. I would have thought, says the Gemara, that God is making you sick, and you have no right to intervene in God's matters. So if God makes you sick, you have no right to try to heal the person. Special pasuk that tells me, v'rapo yirape, the doctor is allowed to heal you. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, fascinating, a doctor only has a right to intervene if he is doing it in order to heal you. But if the doctor wants to intervene and put you on intravenous in order that you should fast on Yom Kippur, as nice and as important as fasting on Yom Kippur is, but there's no heter for the doctor to intervene. Right? If you look in, it's two lines before the end of the first paragraph. Mikol makom ein l'chaivo. Mishum din nira. It appears, says Rav Moshe, dechi v'rapo yirape, that this obligation of v'rapo yirape, sheyalfinon, sheyesh chiyuv l'rape b'minei samim, that we see that there's an obligation to heal with medicines, hurak l'rape hacholim mimachal asam, and that's only to heal sick people from their disease. V'lo kishelo yirapenu, ela sheyasu minei asamim sheyuchol atzom. But it does not apply when the treatment will not heal you, but the treatment will just make you be able to fast. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, first of all, there's no obligation. Then he says the kicker. And therefore, once there's no obligation, Moshe says maybe there's an isser. This is a fascinating Rav Moshe. He assumes we know that there's an isser of chol ve'ol ba'atzmo. I'm not allowed to, let's say, chop off my finger. Right? I can't do that. Right? The Mishnah tells us, even if my friend gives me permission that he wants me to chop off his finger, I'm not allowed to. I can't chop off my own finger. Right? The Radvaz explains, I don't own my own body. God owns my body, so to speak. I'm not in charge. Rav Moshe says, who says it's a heter to do something as seemingly benign as sticking a needle into you? Who says it's permitted? That's chavala. It's a slight injury. And even the slightest injury, Rav Moshe says, is going to be usur. It's only permitted in the case of healing. And if we're not healing you, then it's forbidden. Yeah.
So in this case, the guy agrees to it.
But even if I agree to it, the Mishnah Bava Kama says I'm not allowed to chop off my finger, even if I agree to it. I'm not allowed to chop off your finger, even if you agree to it. And Rav Moshe's chiddush is that even something as small as just taking a blood test or a needle in the arm for an intravenous, it's not such a big deal. But even so, Rav Moshe says, that's going to be forbidden. So Rav Moshe is really not a fan of... And the later poskim say other things. The Stei Chemet has the same question. He's actually talking about certain types of suppositories that they had that would also help you be able to fast. The Stei Chemet says, well, you know, you can't forbid that because you're injuring yourself, obviously. But the Stei Chemet says it's forbidden because God wants us to be normal. It's a novel concept. Basically, God is saying, you know, you're a type of person who doesn't have to fast on Yom Kippur. Don't make yourself crazy and go through all of these strange machinations trying to come up with ways that you will be able to fast. You're not able to fast, that's it. That's the way the Stei Chemet says it. There are different versions of this thing, but basically we frown upon anybody who wants to perform some of these actions, like taking intravenous or taking special medicines a few days before Yom Kippur that will help you fast. We don't look, you know, if you can't fast, so then you can't fast, and we'll deal with those shilas as they come up. Yeah, piercing your ears. That's a very good question. The poskim discuss cosmetic surgery and piercing your ears. In most cases, the poskim are makel because that's considered a legitimate sorech. Now, what about these blood tests? Rav Moshe is saying that the intravenous in this case is not really a tzorech because it's only a tzorech to heal you. That's his argument. It's not a tzorech to help you fast. But cosmetically, again, in certain cases, there's a Rabbi Bleich has, in one of his volumes of Contemporary Halachic Problems, has a whole 30-page essay about cosmetic surgery in halacha. It's a big question that comes up, but yeah, it's a lot. There's a lot of literature on it. Okay, now, surprised that it was a guy who asked a question about the earrings. Now, if a person is a chola sheyesh bo sakana, a person is really deathly ill, a person is in a situation that the doctors say, you have to eat. So obviously, the person has to eat on Yom Kippur, no question. Well, this actually is a big question. You know, for certain Jews, I think this was more true in our parents' generation than in our generation, like to eat on Yom Kippur was inconceivable. I can't eat. Yet, chas v'shalom, for me to eat on Yom Kippur, no way. And even if the doctor's telling them to eat, Rebbe Kiva Eger actually has a tshuva like this, where he deals with a young woman who doesn't want to eat on Yom Kippur. So Bikkei Vayigra says, give her a letter handwritten by me that I demand that she eats. And that worked, apparently, but nothing short of that worked, because people, like, to eat on Yom Kippur can't be. It's impossible. This was a standard thing. So the question is, let's say somebody, the doctors tell him or her, we want you to eat on Yom Kippur, and the person says, no, I can't. I can't do it. I'm going to fast anyway. They said, doc, what's the chances? Like, you know what, let me take the risk. If I get really sick in the middle of the day, then I'll start to eat these types of things. So what do we do in this case? So it says in Shulchan Aruch that we obligate you to eat. There's actually some very strong expressions that Shulchan Aruch uses. I don't remember if I gave you this source or not. I don't think I printed this source out. Shulchan Aruch says that if a person decides to fast when the doctors order that he eat, hariza mischayif benafsho. It's the equivalent of committing suicide. That's frightening. That's very frightening. Yeah.
What about the case of women who are pretty close to giving birth?
We'll get there in 3 minutes. That's the next thing on the page. So, Hareza Mischai B'nasho, it says in Shulchan Aruch that you are not allowed to eat. That if the doctor says that you have to eat, so then you have to eat, and you decide not to eat, so we obligate you. Beis Din, in fact, would force you to eat. They would beat you up and, so to speak, force you to eat. The Maharam Shik has an interesting tshuva where he applies the principle of mitzvah haba b'aveira in this case. The Maharam Shik says, even if you fast, you don't get the points. Right? We have a general principle of mitzvah haba b'aveira. If I take a esrog on Sukkot, that's a stolen esrog. Right? It's a mitzvah haba b'aveira. So it turns out that I don't get the mitzvah at all. Says the Maharam Shik, if you are fasting, when the doctors say you have to eat, that is a mitzvah abo b'aveira, you do not get the schar for fasting on Yom Kippur. Okay, so you really have to be very careful. If a person has to eat, eat. But you should know that the Chassam Sofer points out in the tshuva, and this is something that I told a few people already this week, that it's much better to fast on Yom Kippur than it is to come to shul. Sometimes the doctors will tell you that, you know, this actually happens sometimes in pregnancy, that the exertion could hurt you. Or a person is elderly and frail, and they say, don't go out. It's better to stay home on Yom Kippur all day, don't go to shul, and do whatever you can do at home, right, and fast, than it is to come to shul and not fast. The Maharam Makom on this is a Kshuv and the Chassam Sofer, Chelak Vav, Simen Chaf Gimel. And this is something that you have to, and your priorities have to be very clear, that fasting is obviously more important than davening on Yom Kippur, as important as davening is. Fine. Now, pregnant and nursing women. Okay, the pregnant and nursing women have to fast on Yom Kippur. Shulchan Aruch is pretty clear, no? Look at the bottom line of the first page. Pretty unambiguous. Ubros umenikos, pregnant and nursing women, misanos umashlimos biyom hakipurim, they fast and they complete the fasting Yom Kippur. Nothing to talk about, no question. Now the Bir Halacha has a discussion. Well, let's say it's a nursing woman and the baby is nursing from the mother. Now what often happens when the woman fasts is that she begins to dry up and her milk supply diminishes. So the Mishnah Berurah paskins, in that case, it's permitted for the mother to eat for pikuach nefesh, for the baby. It's more likely to drink than to eat in that case. It's more dehydration, I think, than eating. So in the case that the baby will only take from the mother, so the top source on the second page says that we permit the mother to eat in order to feed the baby. It's pikuach nefesh for the baby, yes. So, I mean, this is a general concern that whenever a woman doesn't nurse the baby, there's a concern that she might dry up and the baby is only going to take from her.
Is it thinking past Yom Kippur or just like the baby Yom Kippur?
Yeah, so what about if the concern is that the mother will dry up 2 days from after Yom Kippur? That's it. That's your question?
Yes, yeah, I
So again, these cases are very, very hard to evaluate. And what I could tell you is that many poskim today do not paskin like the Mishnah Berurah on this. And that's because today we have formula. The Mishnah Berurah is at a time before formula. Today, with formula, the poskim say it's a very, very, very far-fetched scenario that a baby will only take his mother's milk, won't take any formula, and there's potential pekuach nefesh on the baby. It's very, very far-fetched. Now, it happens, my wife has told me that fasting while you're nursing is much more difficult than fasting when you're pregnant. It's really, really hard. The one time I think my wife was nursing over a Yom Kippur, so she asked me what's the earliest time she could break her fast. Let's say Yom Kippur, the kula is if you're really stuck 22 minutes, you can break your fast 22 minutes after Shkia. Again, you really have to try the best you can. It can be very, very difficult, but the halacha basically is that today, a nursing woman has to fast in Yom Kippur, even if there's a slight concern that she might dry up. But the fact is, with formula and with other supplements, the assumption is it won't cause any pekuach nefesh for the baby. That's the general assumption that the post can have today. Now, pregnant women. This is the big one. This is the big issue. There was a great goyim in Yerushalayim in the 1980s. He was one of the dayanim in the Badatz Eid HaRedes. So this is, this is coming from the middle of Mei Yesharim. So Rabbi Yisrael Yaakov Fisher wrote a footnote in one of the Sfarim that came out about Bikur Cholim. He wrote a footnote where he said that I saw Ra'isi Be'enai Asaros Noshim. Here, actually the Tzitz Eliezer quotes it, the end of the first paragraph of this source. Kayom hazesh nechleshu hadoros. Today the generations are weaker. Va'asaros rabos shel noshim mapilos ayudei hata'anis. And many women have miscarriages because of the fast. Srichin kol hanoshim hamu'ubaros ad achorosh hatshi'i lechol b'yom hakipurim pachos mikashir. Wow. All right, this is earth-shaking. He says that every pregnant woman, against Shulchan Aruch, right? Shulchan Aruch says pregnant women have to fast in Yom Kippur. He says today, every pregnant woman should eat on Yom Kippur until you're in the ninth month. And he clarified later that means the end of the ninth month, let's say week 37 or so and beyond, because at that point, even if you go into labor, the concern is if you don't drink, you might go into premature labor. And premature labor can be dangerous. So Reb Yisrael Yaakov Fisher said, you know what, we're going to permit all women to drink on Yom Kippur, because he saw many women who had miscarriages based on the fast. This is his psak. And apparently there are women today in Mei Yesharim who do not fast on Yom Kippur based on this psak. Okay, now we have to be very careful. This is the big kula. And that means that women, and that means from the very beginning of pregnancy, once you know that you're pregnant, even before 40 days, the Mishnah Berurah says, you are considered a mu'uberes, a pregnant person, and a pregnant woman, according to Yisrael Yaakov Fisher, does not fast. Yeah, you eat pachos mikashir. We'll talk about how much that is in a few minutes. But you do not fast. That's what he says. Most poskim, the Tzitz Eliezer of Moshe Sternbuch and Rabbi Bleich wrote a whole essay about this in his book Contemporary Halachic Problems, Volume 4, page 371. He wrote an entire essay. Basically, there's a few problems here with Rabbi Yisrael Yaakov Fisher's psak. One problem is the level of incidence. What is the likelihood? He says that he saw many women who had miscarriages. How often does it happen? There have been a few studies of the Yom Kippur effect. It was published in a number of journals. They did not find any significant increase in premature labors because of Yom Kippur. If you especially, and those people, you have to discount in these statistics the people who aren't listening. In other words, if a woman, when she's pregnant, takes it easy on Yom Kippur, stays in an air-conditioned room, prepares adequately before Yom Kippur by drinking enough, so she will be okay. Now, the doctors today are still going to tell you, no, you can't fast. And, this is a very, very hard issue, because the doctors will say you can't fast. Shulchan Aruch says that you do fast. the Mishnah Berurah writes in one place that it depends. If the doctor is telling you not to fast, but he tells everybody not to fast because the doctor's a little bit worried about malpractice. Doctor is somewhat nervous about this. So if the doctor's telling you not to fast because everyone shouldn't fast, so then the doctor doesn't really have nemonos. If there's something unique about your case, the pregnancy is somewhat atypical, or this is a woman who has gone into premature labor in the past, or this is a woman who is having early contractions, or this is a woman who is staining during pregnancy, or a whole host of other factors that make this somehow a not typical pregnancy, then it's a serious shiloh. Those are the real difficult shilas that you have to ask the Rav, and the Rav will consult with the doctor and try to find out exactly what's going on. But in most cases, if it's a routine pregnancy, almost all poskim, again, with the exception of Rabbi Sir Yaakov Fisher, almost all poskim say that you do fast, because just the statistics say that the level of incidence of having a miscarriage because of not drinking on Yom Kippur just isn't high. It's the type of thing that the Achronim call, based on the Gemara, Dashu Bei Rabim. Right? We know that you're not allowed to do anything that's halachically dangerous. But I do dangerous stuff all the time. I cross Broadway, right, every morning. It's pretty dangerous, no? Sometimes I even cross Broadway when I look both ways and then no car is coming. Right? So, is it permitted? Hey, is it permitted, as someone in the show asked me a few weeks ago, to go skydiving? Right? Is that considered, what are the type of activities that are activities that everyone does, which means halakhically speaking, it's not a significant danger. It's permitted to enter dangers which are not halakhically very significant, if everyone does it. So again, you have to judge, but most people will assume that just not drinking for a day, if you take it easy, is not considered a significant risk, and therefore there is no need for a woman not to fast. Therefore, we tell pregnant women that they do fast unless there's something out of the ordinary with respect to her pregnancy. This is the way the Tzitz Eliezer deals with this question. Yeah. So remember, right? So on Yom Kippur, even if someone is a chol she'ein bo sakana, even if someone is not acting normally, he or she is just not themselves, you're obligated to fast. We permit you taking medicine because medicine is not breaking the fast, but you're obligated to fast. Right? Fasting on Yom Kippur is a very serious doraisa, it's a chi of kare. So that's the real issue. We won't allow you to break the fast, even if you're right, you're not acting normal. You're in bed all day. You are very uncomfortable. No one is taking the discomfort away. It's terrible, but at the same time, you're still obligated to fast. Fine. Yeah. So again, the woman or the rabbi, I spoke to Rabbi Neuberger about this. Rabbi Neuberger actually has a very large shul. He's been dealing with these shilas for many years. I'm kind of new to this. Rabbi Neuberger said that what he does is he asks the woman to speak to the doctor, and he also likes to speak to the doctor. It happens that the doctors like to speak to the rabbis because they realize that if the rabbi is on their side, so to speak, they're more likely to get lots of patients from that type of arrangement. But yeah, you should ask the doctor, right? When you're telling me, you have to pick up on the subtle hints that the doctor gives. The doctor says, do what you want, but I can't tell you that you should fast. So what the doctor's really saying is like, listen, I can't tell you that you should fast because I have to protect my own skin, my own insurance liability, but at the same time, do what you want. So that's... Right, so that's really, you have to be able to pick up on the subtle hints, and it can sometimes be a tough judgment call. Now, one other interesting approach to this question of pregnant women fasting in Yom Kippur. Again, there is a likelihood, not a great likelihood, a very, very small likelihood, that maybe she will miscarry because of fasting. That's the basic issue. That's the basic issue. Rabbi Neuberger, by the way, told me that he considers the shilas he gets in the 8th month to be much more complicated than shilas he gets at any other period, because in the 9th month already, so even if she goes into labor, odds are everything will be okay. In the earlier months, so the incidence of premature labor are much lower. So that's what he was telling me today. So Rav Moshe Sternbach has the following approach. You know, there was a famous case on Yom Kippur, I think it was in 1848, when there was a cholera epidemic, and Rabbi Yisrael Salanter went into shul, and he, rumor has it, he picked up a cup of wine, and he made kiddush, and he says everyone has to go and eat. Because even though everyone is perfectly healthy now, right, there's a cholera epidemic outside, everyone in the shul is healthy, but he felt, based on what he heard from doctors, that if a person does not eat, they'll be at a greater risk. They'll be more susceptible to catching the disease. So therefore, he said, you have to strengthen yourselves. Everyone is mechuyev to eat on Yom Kippur. This is the famous psak of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. And the Dayanim in Vilna really took Rabbi Yisrael Salanter to task for this. They felt that his psak was off base, and this became a whole issue among the poskim. And if you go through the tshuvas, Rav Moshe Feinstein seems to feel that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was correct. Other poskim feel that he was incorrect. I mean, that's even in this generation. Now, what was the issue over there? So Rav Moshe Sternbach writes as follows. He says that the issue in the psak of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter is that you have a person who himself is healthy now, but there's a concern that maybe something will happen later on that will make them ill. Well, that's an interesting type of situation, right? Then, he said, the Dayan of Vilna felt that Rav Yisrael Salanter is wrong. So that may be analogous to our case of a woman who is healthy. She's a healthy pregnant woman, a normal pregnancy. Everything is going standard. But what's the concern? That maybe in the course of the day, she'll begin to dehydrate a bit, and she might end up going into preterm labor, and maybe later on things will happen. But right now, she's perfectly healthy. So what Rav Moshe Sternbach argues is that this machlokas between Rav Yisrael Yaakov Fischer and everyone else is really the same old machlokas about the cholera epidemic. Again, I'm not saying that a pregnant woman is the same as a cholera epidemic. No, that's not the point over here. But the point is that conceptually, there's a certain link that we're dealing with a person who is healthy now, but there's a concern that later on, some illness will impact. And the analogy is a little bit difficult, I think, because in the cholera epidemic case, yeah, I might be healthy myself, but there is an illness present. Right? It's just right outside in the street. It's very different than the case that I'm perfectly healthy and I'm worried. Right? If a person, let's say, has this mission gas in his head that, you know, I'm very healthy, but I have to fortify myself because maybe someone's going to shoot poison gas. I'm mission gas. Like, maybe there's going to be some poison gas going through there, and who knows. It's obviously we don't worry about that. So again, you have to judge each case on its own, but the psak of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter is an interesting psak. It's a question whether we agree with it lahalacha or not, but I'm not sure that it's really analogous to this case of the pregnant woman. Fine. Are people okay with going for 5 more minutes? Just okay. So let's talk about 2 other cases. A classic sick person. This is in the section that begins ill people. Right? Basically, I gave you an overview of this Truven that sits Eliezer, where he argues in Rabbi Yisrael Yaakov Fisher, and we spoke about Rav Moshe Sternbach and his approach to this question. A regular ill person, chola shetzarech le'echol. Right? It says in Shulchan Aruch, if you have an ill person who has to eat, so if there's a rofe baki, there's a doctor who's an expert, even a non-Jew, right? We trust the non-Jewish doctor, and they say if they don't feed him, he'll become sicker, and he might become very ill. So then, machilin oso al piv. What this really means, and the Bir Halacha points this out, is that what we have now is a person who is not perfectly healthy. The person is a chola she'ein bo sakana. He's sick, or she's sick, with a low-level illness. But the concern is that over time, this low-level illness will snowball and will become very sick, will become a chola she'yesh bo sakana. So in this situation, we treat you like a chola she'yesh bo sakana. Because the cause is already present. The etiology is already here. Fine. Now, it says in Shulchan Aruch, in Sif Zayin, that kishemachilan es ha'ubros o es ha'chola, when you give pregnant women or a sick person to eat, machilan oso ma'at ma'at, kidei shelo yitztarich l'shi'ur. Remember, chatzi shir is also min ha'Torah. There's a Torah prohibition of eating even a tiny amount in Yom Kippur, but it's not as severe as eating a full shir. So when a person is sick on Yom Kippur, and it says in Shulchan Aruch, a pregnant woman or a ill person who we feed, we give them a small amount, ma'at ma'at, pachos pachos mikashir, which Shulchan Aruch translates as 2/3 of a medium-sized egg. A medium-sized egg, we assume, is 50 cubic centimeters. 2/3 of that is what? Do the math, whatever. The post can usually assume something less than 32 cubic centimeters, which is bigger than your shot glass. So that is why the standard psak that Rabbanim have today is that if you have to eat on Yom Kippur, you take a shot glass. Now, a shot glass is for food, for solid food. And it means really solid food. If I have sponge cake, obviously I don't just put a whole piece of sponge cake in the shot glass. That would be, you squeeze it down, you remove the air spaces. The very small air spaces, like in a piece of rye bread, those we assume is part of the food, but the larger air spaces, like in sponge cake, are not. Fine. Now, drinking, the shear is different. The shear of drinking varies by each person, and that shear is a kimlo lugmav, which is 1 cheekful. So the poskim recommend that you should measure yourself how large your cheekful is. Measure it before Yom Kippur. Get that measurement. In almost every single person in the world, that size is also going to be larger than a shot glass, so we recommend using a shot glass for both eating and drinking on Yom Kippur. Now, a shot glass is around 1 ounce. You are supposed to eat you can't be mitzdarif, and there's a shear of kedei achilas pras, which is the amount of time it takes to eat half a loaf of wheat bread, which the poskim are not exactly sure how long that is, and the zmanim fikdei achilas pras vary from 2 minutes to 9 minutes. So we start off on Yom Kippur being very machmir, telling you that you should eat 1 shot glass, and you could eat 1 shot glass and then drink a shot glass, because achila and shti is not mitztarif. So I could take I could eat and drink, wait 9 minutes, eat and drink, wait 9 minutes, eat and drink. That basically means that you're getting about 6 ounces an hour, if it's every 9 minutes. If 9 minutes is not enough, so you go down to 8, 7, 6, etc., all the way until 2. Once you can't do it in 2 minutes, so then you just eat normally. That's what the post can recommend. Now, when we eat pachos mikashir, the poskim also say that you have to estimate each time you want to eat. In other words, a person feels faint on Yom Kippur, begins to get very lightheaded and dizzy. That's a serious warning sign of dehydration, no? Person is lightheaded and dizzy, so you'll say, okay, take a drink. Right? You drink an ounce. Okay, fine. Then you have to ask them before the next time, oh, you're still feeling lightheaded and dizzy, you need more? Each time, the Binyan Siyan recommends that what we're supposed to do is, just because you broke your fast one time and you drank doesn't mean that you have a heter to eat and drink the rest of the day. Right? It still is Yom Kippur for you. And oftentimes, a little bit of food will get you back, and then you're obligated to continue fasting for the rest of the day. Some poskim also say that when it comes to eating on Yom Kippur, you also, remember, the Torah phrases the Isser to eat on Yom Kippur. This is a question which I'll leave open. The Torah phrases the Isser to eat on Yom Kippur as te'anuas nafshol seichem, oppress yourself, afflict yourself. So that means, the poskim say, that if the doctor tells you that you need to drink, and drinking water is okay, maybe you can only drink water, don't drink Powerade. That's an open question. It's not clear. You're allowed to enjoy the food that you're eating on Yom Kippur. I tell my kids they can't eat Fruity Pebbles on Yom Kippur, but that's for other reasons. I prefer they never eat Fruity Pebbles. So that's an open question. In the poskim, when we try to do hakal tchila, when we try to do the lowest iser, and that's why we're eating very, very small amounts, and we go in these increments of 9 minutes, let's say, does that also apply to the type of food? As a general rule, though, it's a good idea if a person is ill and has to eat, so you want to get as much bang out of the eating as possible. So you want to try to take high-calorie intake foods, like these power shake drinks or whatever, because that way, in your 1 ounce, you get a lot more calories than you would get otherwise. Rav Shlomo Zalman writes, you're technically not mechuyev to do that, but it's probably a good idea to do that anyway. Okay, so that's the basic issue with the Shi'urim. Now, there is a famous psak of Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. Reb Chaim, the Rav's grandfather, paskened, always against Shulchan Aruch. Reb Chaim, in his lifetime, never gave the psak of Hakala Kal Tchila, and they gave the psak to eat pachos mikashir, to use the shot glass. He always said, oh, you're sick, eat as much as you want. Drink as much as you want. So this is a very, very big question. What's the basis of Reb Chaim's psak? His son, Reb Velvel Soloveitchik, has a whole essay where he tries to come up with the basis for his father's psak. Unless someone is really a brisker, we do not follow the Reb Chaim. Even in yeshiva, where we try to follow Reb Chaim as much as possible because Reb Soloveitchik is a grandson, the Rebbeim in yeshiva, when we get these questions, they don't assume like the Reb Chaim. We paskin like what it says in Shulchan Aruch, which is that we do hakal tchila, and we give the shot glass amount every 9 minutes. Yeah?
In the case where someone's eating bread, let's say, in their ounces, and they were required to bench.
Oh, okay.
Would one make an insertion?
Okay, so it goes like this. If someone is eating bread, so it says in Shulchan Aruch that if you eat bread on Yom Kippur, you have to say Yalav Yavol. You say Yalav Yavol v'yom ha-kippurim hazeh, which I imagine is one of the weirdest things in the world. That's what it says you should do. Now, it happens that if you're eating pachos mikashir, if you're eating 1 ounce of bread every 9 minutes, so in that case, the food doesn't combine together, so you don't bench at all. The only time that you have to bench in Yom Kippur is if you're so ill that 1 ounce every 9 minutes is not going to carry you over, and you have to eat normally. You do not make a new bracha rishona each time you eat. We assume that you could have in mind that I'll eat one crumb of bread now and another crumb, like Hansel and Gretel, another crumb later on. We assume that you could do. And you don't need to make a new bracha rishona, but in terms of the bracha achrona, so then you would not make a bracha achrona when you eat pachos mikashir. Yeah. So this is a very hard question. Let's say somebody knows that I could fast X number of hours at the beginning of the day, and then I'll have to eat normally, or I could eat pachos mikashir all day. What's better? That's the question that Acharonim discuss. That's a very, very hard question. There's no real consensus. I think Reb Shlomo Zalman paskins that you're supposed to eat pachos mikashir all day in that situation, but it's an open question. I'd have to look into it again if it's a real shaila.
Seems like from that you just want to reduce you don't want to have to eat normally, and it's better to
It's better to eat in this small amount over all of Yom Kippur than to have to really eat on Yom Kippur. And there are other questions. If someone has to eat on Yom Kippur, can you get an aliyah? That's another question. I thought people would ask me before when we were talking about mouthwash. Are you allowed to use mouthwash on Yom Kippur? Or are you allowed to use these Listerine strips? This is the most common shaila I got this week. I don't know why. Everyone was asking about using these Listerine strips. But, so, can you? Okay. So, these Listerine... So, mouthwash on Yom Kippur is probably not food. Technically speaking, it should be permitted. Rav Moshe Feinstein is quoted as saying like this, that on Yom HaKippurim there's an Isser, not only is there an Isser to eat on Yom Kippur, there's an Isser of Rechitza. So he says that using mouthwash is actually washing your mouth, and there's an Isser of Rechitza. According to Rav Moshe's understanding, even using these breath strips would be a problem on Yom Kippur. Rav Schechter told me today that when Rabbi Muskin, who's actually my predecessor, he was the Rav here of this shul in the 1980s, when Rabbi Muskin asked him the Shaila earlier this week out from Los Angeles, it was last year before Yom Kippur, Rabbi Muskin asked him the Shaila, so Rav Schechter felt that it's permitted, and then he was speaking to Rav Usher Weiss about this, and Rav Usher Weiss felt that it's not permitted. He doesn't understand Rav Usher Weiss's logic. Basically, what Rav Schechter felt is that it is permitted to use these strips on Yom Kippur. He's not convinced that Rav Moshe is correct, that there's an Isser Rechitza. What are you washing exactly? What's going on? He said that you shouldn't stick a lot of these strips in your mouth and then deliberately swallow your saliva because you like the way it tastes. Okay? But he felt that that it's permitted to take these strips on Yom Kippur against what should emerge from that psak of, or the psak that people quote in the name of Rav Moshe. I don't think it's written in his tshuvas anywhere, but people quote it from Rav Moshe. Any other questions that we didn't discuss in terms of eating, drinking, or mouthwash? Okay, so thank you very much for coming.